Good morning, all, and thank you for joining us for the AmRest H1 2025 results call. My name is Carly, and I'll be coordinating the call today. If you'd like to register a question during the call, you can do so by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. To remove yourself from the line of questioning, be star followed by two. If you join us online, you can also submit a text question via the Q&A button on your browser now. I'd now like to hand over to our host, Łukasz Wachelko. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Łukasz Wachelko. I'm representing WOOD & Company. Again, I have a pleasure of moderating the call with AmRest after the results. The company is being represented by CFO Eduardo Zamarripa and IR Santiago Camarero Aguilera. Gentlemen, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Łukasz. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us in today's second quarter 2025 AmRest result presentation. I will share with you an update on AmRest's situation at the end of the quarter. In this second quarter, global conditions were shaped by escalating trade tensions that led to episodes of significant financial volatility and a broad decline in consumer confidence across many countries. Regional performance reflected this uncertainty. Western Europe slowed to near stagnation. Eastern Europe remained comparatively resilient, and China developed solid growth. Though structural changes persisted beneath the surface. With this context, we'll now review our second quarter results, financial performance, and outlook before opening the floor for your questions. Please note that today's remarks may include forward-looking statements subject to risks and uncertainty. Let's start with today's presentation. Let's go to slide two, please. As a reminder, AmRest is a leading multi-brand restaurant operator in Europe, with 2,103 restaurants across 22 countries in Europe, the Middle East, and China. Our portfolio combines iconic global franchise brands, KFC, Starbucks, Pizza Hut, and Burger King, with proprietary concepts such as La Tagliatella, Sushi Shop, Blue Frog, and Bacoa, positioning our businesses across quick service, coffee, fast casual, and casual dining. Every month, our restaurants welcome over 30 million guests, served by more than 45,000 AmRest colleagues, a scale that allows us to deliver consistent value and service across formats and geographies. If we move now to slide three, I'm going to try to summarize the most relevant financial KPIs and event for the first half of the year. First, in the first half of 2025, revenues were almost 1,262 million. This is a 2.5% increase year-over-year, or 3.9% when excluding the deconsolidation impact from the assets sold in Q1. This is the 51% stake in our subsidiary SEM that was performing procurement activities for the group. Second, year-to-date adjusted EBITDA was more than 196 million, roughly flat versus last year, while EBIT reached 47.5 million, improving the EBIT margin to 3.8% versus 1.9% in first half of 2024. Leverage stood at 2.1x, at the low end of our internal target range. In addition, we delivered 36 gross openings and 123 renovations during the first half, supporting future growth and customer experience. Finally, We executed a strategic change to internalize our supply chain management following the first quarter transaction on SCM to simplify operations and capture efficiencies. In the following slides, we will go in more depth and detail on these points, but let's start first with what we are doing in our different brands on slide four. The commercial position of our brands plays a crucial role in the value generation of AmRest. Let me start with the quick service and coffee brands in this slide four. At KFC, we continue to elevate our product experience, introducing exciting campaigns and seasonal innovations tailored to local tastes. The popular pizza Twister made a comeback in many countries in Central Europe, driven by its strong past performance. In Poland, we launched as well our most prominent campaign, collaboration with Netflix Squid Game, featuring Korean-inspired menu items paired with 360-degree viral marketing strategy that capture widespread attention, driving both engagement and brand business. At Burger King, we believe morning should be bold, satisfying, and full of flavor. That's why we're proud to serve a breakfast lineup that's anything but ordinary, from fluffy mini cakes to crispy breakfast toasts, and a range of hearty breakfast burgers made with beef, chicken, or plant-based patties. Each item is crafted to start the date with a tasty and energy. At Starbucks, our seasonal beverage innovations continue to deliver strong results, delighting guests and driving incremental sales. Our spring lavender range, led by the standout iced lavender matcha latte or the summer tiramisu range, are a testament of the power of flavor-driven campaigns. Moreover, seasonal food items were thoughtfully paired with LTO beverages, enhancing the overall guest journey and driving incremental value across markets. Now moving to the fast casual and dining brands on the slide five, please. At Pizza Hut, we continue to deliver memorable moments through innovative product launches. In this quarter, we proudly introduced Wing Street, a new product category featuring oven-baked chicken nuggets and strips, positioned as both a Pizza Hut offering and a standalone sub-brand on aggregator platforms. Wing Street expands our reach and strengthens our presence in the chicken segment. At Blue Frog, we continue to strengthen emotional connection and elevate seasonal appeal through experiences of premium innovation. We embrace the summer season. We launch a vibrant drink campaign featuring yogurt smoothies, tropical coolers, and color non-alcoholic blends. The Drink of the Moment campaign targeted younger audiences, enhancing refreshment and driving brand engagement. At Plata Glatella, our rebranding journey continues, transforming the guest experience and strengthening operational excellence. Since the launch of our rebranding initiative in 2024, we have successfully reopened 15 fully revamped restaurants with plans to extend renovations to franchise locations by the year end, ensuring a consistent and an elevated brand presence. And finally, a sushi shop, second quarter was marked by the launch of a strategic brand collaboration with Rubik Cube. The box designs feature Rubik's Cube was paired with a new creative receipts, making the collaborations both fun and playful. This initiative helped us to connect with a wide multi-generational audience, blend blending nostalgia with a fresh product experience. Let's now move to slide six. As discussed, revenues reached $1,262 million, up 2.5% year-over-year or 3.9% excluding disposals. In this regard, we see steady progress in 12-month trailing average sales per equity store, reflecting the portfolio channel mix, pricing routines, and renovations impact. The combination of per-store productivity and selective growth supports these trends, enabling us to consistently enhance unit economics across our network. As a result, AmRest continues to deliver resilient performance at the store level. Moving to slide seven, on the left-hand side, you can see dine-in sales evolution versus other channels. We have achieved a balanced omni-channel mix. This evolution allows us to better meet guests whenever they are, whether in store, online, or go-on-go, while optimizing operational efficiencies and enhancing overall profitability. On the right-hand side, you can see that the digital shares of orders reached 62% during the first half of the year, combining proprietary kiosk, mobile app, web ordering, and third-party platforms. In summary, digital capabilities remain a structural pillar. This robust digital adoption is not only a testament to changing consumer preference, but also to our ongoing investment in technology and operational excellence. As a result, we accelerate peak hour service and minimize wait times, ensuring guests receive a seamless experience even during busiest periods. We are able to reduce variance in executions across our network, leveraging digital tools to standardize processes and maintain high service quality. And we achieve ticket uplift, achieved through an effective merchandising and loyalty programs, which drive higher average spend per visit and foster repeat businesses. Now moving to slide eight. As we have covered in previous calls, our underlying restaurant growth is complemented by strategic adjustments to non-performing businesses made since 2022, which has led to the end of certain commercial agreements or disposal of some businesses during this period. These decisive moves are aimed to sharpening our capital allocation and focusing the portfolio on the most resilient and profitable formats, ensuring that our footprint is configured for sustainable long-term returns. Today, AmRest operates directly or via franchisees a portfolio of 2,103 restaurants across 22 countries and 8 brands, following the opening of 21 new restaurants and the closing of 14 during the quarter. With this, Santi, if you can cover the main financial highlights, please.
Of course. Many thanks, Eduardo. As always, it is my pleasure to have the opportunity to address you on our quarterly results presentation. But before we dive into the details, I would like to highlight a few key themes that we will frame our discussion today. First, top line growth. We continue to deliver resilient revenue performance, supported by our diversified brand portfolio and disciplined commercial execution focused on effective pricing and upselling, and by the continued growth in digital locations as more customers choose our digital channels for convenience and value. Second, stable EBITDA. Our operating profitability remained robust, reflecting effective cost management and ongoing operational efficiencies. Next, improving operative results. We have achieved a notable improvement in EBIT, driven by lower impairment charges and a focus on quality of earnings. Finally, healthy leverage. Our balance sheet remains strong, underpinned by solid cash generation and disciplined capital expenditure, which position us well for future growth opportunities. These pillars form the foundation of our financial strategy and demonstrate our commitment to sustainable value creation for our shareholders. Now, let's return to the presentation and take a closer look at the results of the quarter. If we can go to the slide 10, please. Here you can find the main financial data for the half of the year, which I believe most has been already covered by Eduardo. But let me provide a quick recap for everyone. As previously mentioned, for the first half of the year, sales reached €1,262 million, representing a 2.5% growth year on year. Our semester sales index stood at 101, indicating a stable performance across our comparable units. EBITDA for the period was almost €190 million, which translates to a 15% margin. Operating profit came in €47.5 million, with a margin of 3.8%. During the half, we opened 36 new units and invested almost €70 million in CapEx, maintaining a disciplined approach to capital allocation and prioritizing high return opportunities. EBITDA non-IFRS stood at almost €96 million, representing a margin of 7.6%. As always, we also try to provide our most up-to-date information, where year-to-date semester sale index remains around 101, information updated on the 31st of August, which underscores the resilience of our business model despite weakness consumption across many countries. These results reflect our commitment to sustainable growth, operational excellence, and prudent financial management. So now moving on the second quarter data on the slide, please, on the slide 11, please. Sales amounted almost €642 million, reflecting a 0.4% year-on-year growth, or 3.9% when excluding the impact of the business disposals. Our semester sales index was 100.9, indicating continuous stability on our comparable units. EBITDA for the quarter reached almost €108 million, representing a 16.8% margin. Non-IFRS EBITDA stood at €61 million, with a margin of 9.5%, while EBIT amounted to €34.4 million, with a margin of 5%. During this quarter, we executed 21 new openings and invested almost €39 million in CapEx. Moving to the slide 12, please, you can find the quarterly sales and semester index evolution. In the second quarter, we benefited from typical seasonality of our business. As you can see on the left-hand graph, which provide a supportive backdrop for sales. This is why we always suggest analyzing the results with a more long-term window, especially first quarter results. However, overall, growth was affected by geopolitical tensions that resulted in a challenge macroeconomic environment across many countries, with a direct impact in consumer sentiments across most of our markets. Despite these headwinds, and also a competitive landscape, our quarterly revenue evolution demonstrates the resilience of our business model. Turning now to the slide 13, please. We will focus on EBITDA performance for the second quarter. In this second Q, as we have seen, EBITDA was almost 103 million euros. Margins remain robust in the 17% area, underscoring our ability to maintain healthy profitability even in a dynamic market environment. The EBITDA bridge on the slide illustrates how we have successfully protected unit economics through the management of effective labor and productivity initiatives. These levers have enabled us to offset inflationary pressure and competitive challenges, ensuring that our operational efficiency remains strong. Turning to the slide 14, please. Let's look now at our operating profit and cash generation for the second quarter. EBIT reached 34.4 million euros on the second quarter, representing a 5.4% margin. This marked a significant increase of more than 4 percentage points compared to the second quarter of last year, thanks to a substantial reduction in impairment charges. This improvement reflects our ongoing efforts to enhance the quality of our earnings and strengthen our operational discipline. Additionally, operating cash flow increased strongly on the quarter, reaching 106 million euros, reverting in this way part of the negative seasonal effects that we saw during the first quarter of the year. Now moving to the slide 15, please. I would like to highlight several key developments regarding our restaurant portfolio and financial performance with this slide. First, over the last 12 months, our net equity restaurant count increased by 57 units, reflecting our commitment to selective growth and high potential markets and formats. At the same time, the number of franchise restaurants decreased, primarily due to the transfer of the Pizza Hut France business, which was part of our ongoing strategy to optimize the portfolio and focus resources where they can deliver the greatest returns. From a financial perspective, the net profit of the group reached almost 8 million euros in the quarter compared to the losses of 23 million euros 1 year ago. Additionally, our free cash flow generation improves with an increase in operating cash flow while maintaining a gradual reduction in the CapEx. If we move to the slide 16, please. Here you can find a detailed overview of our liquidity and leverage position. Our overall risk profile has remained largely unchanged despite an increase in our net financial debt that sits at 521 million euros at the end of the quarter. Importantly, leverage stands at 2.1 times, which is at the low end of our internal target range and reflects a disciplined approach to financial management, consistent in a commitment to maintaining balance sheet strength while continuing to invest selectively. Finally, at the end of the second quarter, we held 132 million euros in cash, and we have access to 210 million euros in available credit lines unused, ensuring that our liquidity position remains both prudent and efficient, fully aligned with the group operational and strategic needs. On slide 17, you can find an overview of our financial debt structure and maturity profile. As you can see, there have been no significant changes compared to the previous quarters. Our funding remains stable and well-balanced, with the vast majority of our debt denominated in euros. The maturity schedule is well-laddered with a clear long-term orientation. Going into slide 18, we can find the breakdown of revenues, EBITDA, and the number of restaurants that we have in each geography. These segments comprise businesses in 22 countries where we have observed, once more, very different commercial dynamics. As usual, we will start with Central and Eastern Europe, our more relevant region from business perspective that represent more than 60% of the group business. You can find this information on the slides 11 and 20. Sales generated in the region during the quarter amounted almost 400 million euros, reflecting growth of 8% compared to the previous year. Remark the strong performance that we have in the Polish market, our main market, where revenues increased by almost 10%. EBITDA generated in the region during the quarter totaled 79 million euros, representing a margin of almost 20% and a growth of 7% year-on-year. The restaurant portfolio in the region comprised 1,249 units at the end of the quarter, following the opening of 13 restaurants and the closure of one. This leads year-to-date openings to 27 with six closures. In the slides 21 and 22, we can continue with Western Europe. Sales generated in the region during the second quarter reached 220 million euros, representing a decline of almost 2% compared to the same period of 2024. This performance reflects significant divergence across countries, where Spain and Germany grew at rates above inflation, France recorded a steep decline of 14%. EBITDA for the quarter reached nearly 34 million euros, representing a margin of 15.3% and a decline of 8% in nominal terms. The restaurant portfolio closed the period with 772 units, following the opening of five restaurants and the closure of 10. Year-to-date, six restaurants were open and 18 units were closed. If we move now to the slide 23 and 24, please. We have here the performance of China, where sales in the region declined by more than 9%. This is in euro terms, reaching 22.6 million euros during the quarter. However, this decrease in local currency or constant euros would be 5%. The macroeconomic environment and the global decline in consumption in the country are the reasons for this performance. Nominal EBITDA amounted to 5.2 million euros, representing a margin of almost 23% compared to 24% on the previous year. The number of restaurants managed by Blue Frog in the region at the end of the quarter was 82 units, following the opening of three restaurants and the closure of three. On a year-to-date basis, three restaurants were open and eight were closed during these months. And with this, Eduardo, we have covered the whole presentation, so back to you.
Many thanks, Santi. Looking ahead, our strategic focus areas are clear and well-defined. First, we will continue to protect everyday value and convenience across all our brands, ensuring that our offerings remain attractive and accessible to a broad base of consumers, regardless of market conditions. Second, we are committed to scaling digital engagement and loyalty, leveraging technology to deepen consumer frequency, personalize experiences, and drive incremental sales across our omni-channel platform. Third, we will maintain strict cost control discipline and unlock further efficiencies, particularly as we continue to realize the benefits from our recent supply chain transition. This will help us to preserve margins and reinvest in growth initiatives. And finally, we will allocate capital to the best opportunities across formats and geographies, prioritizing investments that offer the highest returns and support our long-term strategic objectives. We are confident that our disciplined approach and strategic clarity will enable us to create sustainable value for our shareholders and all stakeholders going forward. Many thanks, everyone. And with this, we are open to any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We'd like to open the lines for the Q&A section of today's call. As a reminder, if you would like to raise a question, please signal now by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to remove yourself at line of questioning, it will be star followed by two. Those of us that have joined online can also submit a text question via the Q&A button on your browser now. As a reminder, to raise a question, it will be star followed by one. Our first question comes from JP Renodex from Funds. JP, your line is now open.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for this presentation, and thank you for numbers which are better than they look like. So I have several points. One, do you have an idea of the outlook for the rest of the year? Do you confirm a guidance? Do you give a guidance for the rest of the year at this stage? Well done for the organic growth, because in this environment it's very difficult to have organic growth. I'm sure you are outperforming your local markets. So that's thanks to the initiatives you described at the beginning of the presentation. How about inorganic growth? I mean, store openings and also acquisitions, because the restaurant sector is currently depressed. So it's probably a good time to make acquisitions, and you have now some leverage to do that. And in terms of restaurant opening, you told us that you would have a significant opening program towards the second half of the year. Do you confirm that? Because the first half of the year, your restaurant opening program net of closures was a bit shy. I have a third point regarding China, because in one of your press release, maybe that's a sentence which was left over from the last time, but you say that China is doing very well, and it actually no. That's a more general point. Maybe for next time, could you a little bit clarify your financial communications? Your slides are very clear, When we read your press release, it's not so clear, and it would be helpful to have in your financial release comparative tables like for like, because we are financial analysts and we, to be honest, we struggle a little bit in reconciling numbers, because there are numbers a little bit all over the place. So inorganic growth, one outlook for the rest of the year, two inorganic growth, three China, and four financial communication.
Okay. Thank you, JP, for your questions. And starting with the outlook for the rest of the year, we're reporting the first half. The third quarter is quite relevant in terms of results for the cumulative figures. So at this point, we are keeping the guidance that we gave. But I'm going to connect this question with the second one that you also make. The fourth one that you make in terms of the openings. As you highlighted, we are a little bit behind in terms of the openings. It's taking more time than expected. Usually in the second half, we have a stronger number in terms of opening, which is going to still be the case, but we may face some of the openings that we have programmed for the fourth quarter would be dropping to the first half of 2026. So that's something that we are seeing right now. And as you highlighted that is consistent with your comments. In terms of your organic growth, that is the second question that you made, and you mentioned that is quite difficult right now for the industry. We need to split within the different regions. Overall, as we said, in terms of same store sales, we are overall marginally up, but there are high differences across the different regions. Poland, as Santi was mentioning, keeps quite positive. In general terms, CE markets have higher numbers than the one that we show overall. And we have very specific countries in which we are suffering in terms of the organic growth, particularly the two markets that have this situation or face this situation is France and Germany, which are the most challenging for us and the ones that we are putting an important look at it and highlight. Then the third topic that you were raising in terms of inorganic growth, as you mentioned, the sector is depressed, and that, yes, we also live that and see that. One of the topics that is quite relevant for us, always opportunities occur, and we are constantly measuring opportunities that could be there. One of the positive things that we have at this moment is the level of leverage that we have accomplished and that we are keeping, and as we mentioned, at the low end of the level that it was set as a company that we feel comfortable with. So we have the flexibility to do that, but we have to be very disciplined, and that's something that we remain in terms of having and analyzing and, let's say, advancing the analysis on really the opportunities that can make sense, something that really could deliver value in terms of the portfolio of Amrest but positively, we have that flexibility in our financials. I already addressed the four topics that you mentioned in terms of openings while I was connecting me to the first question. And I take note of the fifth topic that you mentioned in terms of the comparables. And one thing that we can do is organize a call with the investor relations team, and the suggestions that you may have, we can discuss it. So, and if it's in better transparency of the company that we are always aiming to that, we can go through that. But I think it would be good to have a discussion separate on this one to be able to address the suggestions that you have, JP.
Yes, thank you. That would help because the Polish investors are not so familiar with listed restaurant businesses. And when I see sell recommendations from Polish brokers on a business with such a strength and so well run like AmRest, I wonder whether there is not a miscommunication issue, because as you know, I've been investing in the restaurant sector for 30 years, and frankly, your operation is super strong and super well managed. And again, your results, even for the first half, are actually better than they look like.
Thank you very much, JP. And yes, we have been in contact for quite several time. You know us and the trajectory that we have. So thank you for your comments and everything that we can do in order to improve in terms of the communication. We are open to hear that and let's have and hear your suggestions in the following days.
Okay, thanks very much. One word about China, perhaps, because in one of your press release, you say China is doing well and sales are down. There is a sentence which says that China is doing well, and actually sales are down.
Yes. From the macro perspective, what it has happened is that during the first part of the year, with all the noise with respect to this retaliation, tariffs, and so on, it was a push in terms of exports that pushed the growth of the country. And from a macro perspective, which you see the headline figure, it was a very strong growth. However, in terms of the feeling and what we are seeing in terms of consumption pattern, the situation has not improved. No? So what we were trying to convey here is this idea, and that in this occasion, the macro headline, it was not really aligned with the situation that we are seeing in terms of the day-to-day people and in the terms of the consumption pattern. I hope that with this, we have clarified this point.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Thanks again. And again, your figures are stronger than they may be perceived by today's share price reaction, at least.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you would like to raise a question, please signal now by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. You can also submit
Maybe I will take and use the privilege of moderator and ask a couple of questions from my end. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you could help us to walk through the segments a bit again. Well, first of all, very decent numbers from Poland, whereas the grocers were complaining on weather. Do you see it as a strength of the restaurant market overall, or you've been better than the restaurant market in Poland over the second quarter of this year? How do you see it?
Well, I mean, double-digit growth in terms of performance in the country, margins of 20%, I think that, as you are describing, no? They are better than our peers. I think that our position as a leading brand operator in the country is out of doubt. We are having very, very good results. Part of the strength of our portfolio is that despite weather effects, despite of other concerns, the business is extremely resilient. Of course, this is something that it has to be seen in context of the different brands that we have across different countries. But in the case of Poland, where we have several brands, this is the case.
Okay, and you are keep on complaining on German market, but in fact, if you look into the numbers from the German operations for the second quarter alone, 19.9% EBITDA margin, decent growth year over year. Is it still that bad? And we are not seeing something because of the numbers? What's happening there? Because, well, on numbers, it doesn't look that bad.
And thank you, Lucas, for making that question. And I think it's relevant. We have a couple of one-time effects over there that are helping EBITDA. Not to mention one of them. Last year, we faced in one of our restaurants, in fact, the best KFC that we have in Germany, a fire, and it was closed for quite some time because it takes a time to rebuild it. No, all the claims that we have and the times to put that to work again, and we receive resources from the insurance company that were registered in this second quarter, and plus that now this restaurant is working again. So that's helping.
Can you put in a number behind the cash from insurance?
A little bit less than a million, Lucas.
Okay.
So things like that, and the way that I'm mentioning it, if we measure it, and one of the topics that we want to convey here is that it's quite relevant to separate or analyze the geographies in different ways. Now, seeing markets continue being quite a strong performance and with very positive results, but also we need to acknowledge that we have certain markets that are lagging in terms of consumption. And that's why I highlighted Germany and France. But as you see in our numbers, the one that really we are facing the most challenges is France.
If I may add over here, no, a couple of points to complement the comments from Eduardo. So the first one, when we were referring to Poland before, I was referring also to the footprint that we have in the country and the complementary of the brands. In the case of Germany, what we have is a different footprint. We have a small presence in terms of KFC. And most of our business is Starbucks. This is a type of business that is less resilient to the economic cycles than the QSR. It's a coffee segment that provides other type of users. What we are seeing right now is a recovery, as you can see in the figures, but we were facing from several quarters a tough situation over here. In terms of the restaurant fire, unfortunately, we have this situation in one of our best, not one of our best, in our best KFC restaurant in Germany. We face a very similar situation, unfortunately, in the case of France. Basically, due to the time difference between the fire, in where basically we don't have the asset available, and the negotiations that we need to have with insurance, this time lag oblige us to need to book as a loss the value that we have in these restaurants, and when we receive the insurance payment, to post it as a positive income. So we have this situation in the case of Germany, and we have the opposite side in the case of France for this quarter. So it's a very, as I said, unfortunately situation. On the overall performance of the group, this is neutral, but we have a fire on the second Q of this year in one of our KFC restaurants in France, in where we were obliged to book 800,000 euros of a loss. This is affecting the profitability that we see in the country. There are several things as well. I know that there is certain complexity because we have business in many different countries, but to remind that when you see the figures of France, in October 2024, we book also the transfer of the Pizza Hut business in the country. So this is something that is also affecting the comparability of the figures that we have. This, of course, doesn't change the fact that we are facing a very challenging environment in this specific market, but just to contextualize or to go deeper into these figures. I hope that this helps.
Okay, thank you. Can you also help us understand the segment called Other? Because it seems that the disposal of STM made the losses in other segments much deeper. So should we read it that previously STM was responsible for like 6 million of positive EBITDA per quarter? Because this time around it's 10.1, but last year was 3.7. There are no revenues behind. So can you help us to understand these numbers?
STM, as you know, it was our subsidiary. We have referred to this situation during the call in where we have a stake of 51% in this company that it was sold during the first quarter of this year. So basically what that was meaning is that we were consolidating in the past the full results of this company. And that is why I don't want to go too much technical here, but in the minorities in our P&L account, you could see in the past how part of the profits generated of the company were for the minorities and not to the parent company. So when you see all these figures, what you find is that the EBITDA of this company, it was around 8 million euros, and around half of this figure, of course, it was referring to the minorities of the company. So now that we have the consolidation of these assets, basically that is not in our numbers anymore. What you see in this line of others is the reflection on the cost of central services that we have in the company that are not allocated to any specific business geography. Between them, the IR team, the executive team, and other general services. So I hope that this clarifies a little bit the numbers.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions from the room?
We currently have no further audio questions on the line.
We have received also some writing questions. Some of them, I think, that we have already been addressed them. So we have received questions about if the guidance that we provided for 2020-25, if we maintain the guidance, if the margins and so on. So I think that Eduardo addressed already this. So we maintain the guidance that we have. We may see some deviation in terms of new store openings, but broadly speaking, there is no reason for us to deviate from the guidance that we have provided. Always when we pass, no, the first quarter of the year for me is like a relief, no? When you know that we have a very strong seasonality on our numbers, and the first Q, it has this special seasonality in terms of weakness, but there is no reason for us, what more, in order to modify the guidance that we have provided to the market. We have received some questions regarding the performance on France and Germany, but I think that we have already addressed them. And I think that with this, we have covered all the topics that have been raised. So, operator, I guess that with this, I don't know, Eduardo, if you want to
Well, thank you everybody for joining the AmRest second quarter results. It's always a pleasure to be in contact with you, and we hope to have the opportunity to see you in one of our restaurants in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we conclude today's call, we'd like to thank everyone for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.